Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you check out Sports Grid Live on X. You can watch us right on there. It's beautiful. And get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android. It's free. You're going to love it. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. And you can get everything. You can watch the network on there. Listen to the network. It's got all the odds, in-game odds, you name it, stories, videos, highlights. The Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Let's get our weekly look at college football from our main man, Rich Sermonello.
Hey, Scotty, let's talk week five in college football. Obviously, the big game between Alabama and Georgia exceeded expectations. I didn't know what to expect. This was a phenomenal game for the regular season. Big takeaway for me. Kalen DeBoer right now looks like the right choice. I mean, think about what he stepped into, replacing the greatest coach in the history of college football, Nick Saban. Saban is in the stadium for this game. The field is named after him. And what do? They score touchdowns on the first four drives. I love this combination of DeBoer plus Jalen Milroe. He's fitting in perfectly with the offense. And I know it's early. We're not even halfway through the season, but man, he looks like the right choice. This guy has done it at every stage of his career. Now 13-2 against top 25 teams versus Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, and Steve Sarkisian, three of the best coaches in college football, 6-0. So DeBoer is ready to take the mantle from Nick Saban. Bama now the odds-on favorite on FanDuel, plus 370 to win a national championship. The one team that stood out for me besides the Crimson Tide, the big takeaway, and I think it was lost in that game between Alabama and Georgia, is Colorado. I mean, is it possible that Coach Prime has actually started to turn things around in Boulder? 2 weeks ago, they had the big comeback win against Baylor, Hail Mary, shocking win to beat the Bears. I'm thinking letdown last weekend against UCF. You got to travel to Orlando. You got to face one of the best rushing offenses in the country. Colorado does not stop the run well. And what do they do as a two-touchdown underdog? They absolutely obliterate UCF, one of the favorites in the Big 12, 48-21. Defense looked good, got a little bit from the running game. Travis Hunter doing Travis Hunter things, now one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy, as he should be. So Colorado, stay tuned. Bye week this weekend, and then big games, consecutive weeks, Kansas State and then Arizona. How about the military academy, Scott? 4-0, both at the same time for the first time since the end of World War II, 1945, getting a little bit from the passing game along with that great running game. So both academies out of the AAC with a shot to win that conference and possibly play in the playoffs. Quickly on week six, my favorite game this weekend is Syracuse at UNLV. Every year, there's one program that just grabs you and takes you on a magic carpet ride. For me, it's been UNLV. I can't believe what these guys are doing. Down to another backup quarterback, former Fighting Camel of Campbell. Haj Malik Williams, phenomenal last weekend against Fresno State. So Barry Odom at UNLV, try to stay undefeated Friday night against Syracuse.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, Rich. No doubt about it. Always good to have Rich Sermonello on Coast to Coast on Fridays talking college football. There's other games tonight as well, Carver High.
There certainly is other games tonight. In fact, there's three. Well, really, there's four. But you were so disinterested in Texas State last night that I wasn't going to give you the Kennesaw State game is on our bill
here, especially home tonight.
Arkansas State's playing tonight, but we're not going to get involved there. But we do have three games of significance on a Friday night. We have Houston going to Fort Worth to take on TCU in the Big 12. That one right now, TCU now minus 10 and a hook there for that. Michigan State makes the long trip to Eugene, 23 and a half for the Ducks tonight in a Big Ten game. And UNLV at home and ranked now against Syracuse, 5.5-point favorite at home.
Well, I think that, first of all, that TCU spread is 16 and a hook. So it's a lot bigger than that. It's 16 and a hook with the Frogs in Fort Worth. I think they can whack Houston. Iowa State beat them by 20. I think TCU is going to do the same thing to them. Oregon at Outson, that's a lot tougher nut to crack. I mean, that's a big piece. I think they're way better than Michigan State. I mean, Ohio State put 38 on them. I think Oregon should do the same thing tonight at Outson in Eugene. And UNLV, 5.5. Look, I think UNLV's look great. Odom's done a great job. I want to lay the 5.5, but, you know, Syracuse has a quarterback. I'm always leery to give a good quarterback like McCord points no matter where the game is. I think it's going to be a fast track tonight. I think that game is going to be a lot better than that 5.5. I actually think it might land inside it. I'd be willing to middle it with Cuse. Do you think UNLV is covering that big piece against Syracuse tonight in McCord?
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, if I could play it, because, of course, in New York I can't, if I could play it, I would be taking the 5.5 with Syracuse. I like UNLV. I love the story. I love that they played well last week after the kid hightailed out of there on them. And I still think they might even win the game. I think anything over 3 is a go for me with Syracuse tonight. McCord can move the football. I know they had a disappointing loss last time out at home against Stanford. But I would take the points with Syracuse, Scotty, along with you out there at Allegiant tonight. And I think Oregon does. I know they haven't done it much this year. They've had some games where they've, you know, kind of gone through the motions. I think tonight, their first real, you know, Big Ten game, a national audience, a Friday night, I think they're going to smash Michigan State. Smash them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to destroy them. Big time smash job with the 23.5. So there you go for tonight in college. Let's start to go through some of the stuff for this weekend. And I will start with Miami because I think Coach said some things to you that are very interesting about this game. Of course, with Cal being in the ACC now, all these teams have to make one or two trips out west. This is a late-night kick for the Hurricanes, who survived last week against Virginia Tech. They go all the way out to Berkeley here, and they're laying 10.5 on the road. Totals in the low 50s, 53.5. I think Miami wins, Scotty, but I don't feel comfortable laying 10.5 with them out there in a very unfamiliar situation for them.
Look, I mean, they looked so average against Virginia Tech. I think they might lose this game. They might go out there and lose to Cal. How do you not grab the 10 and a hook with Cal in Berkeley with that gigantic trip? I mean, that's 7 hours, bro, from Miami to Northern California to San Francisco and then up to Berkeley in the bus. And they're playing at 10:30 East, 7:30 West. They're going to have lag. They didn't look good last week. They got lucky. The refs gifted them the game. And now you got to go play this team that went to Auburn and won. You heard Coach. He's like, they're better than Miami thinks. They're better than everyone thinks. So you're giving them 10.5 at kickoff at home in Berkeley. They're having game day there. Everybody's going to be drunk. I mean, that's a scene out there. I think Miami's got their hands full tomorrow night. They're going to have problems with the Bears.
I think they will as well. Next, Iowa visits the Horseshoe Saturday afternoon. This is a 3:30 East kick. For the Buckeyes and the Hawkeyes, minus 18.5 now for Ohio State, total at 45.5. Now, I didn't bring this up with Oregon, but I'll bring it up with Ohio State. Is there any look ahead, Scotty, for these two? Especially, that's a big game next week, of course. Ohio State's going to Eugene next Saturday. Massive game. Little look ahead for Ohio State. We both think not for Oregon. Will Ohio State have any at home against Iowa?
I think they might have some problems in the first half, but I think in the second half, they'll finish him off by 24. I think Ohio State scores too much for these teams that they're playing right now. Last week, they put up 38. I think that's kind of their soft spot, somewhere between 38 and 45 points a week. They're going to, you know, face a better defense in Iowa. I think Iowa will be in the game for a while, but I think Smith and company, the receivers, too much talent, speed, Eventually, at the shoe in Columbus, the Buckeyes will squeeze this out and cover the 18 and a hook.
I got one more feature game, then we'll start to go through the racks after that when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so they're between the hedges tomorrow in Athens, Georgia, after their tough loss in Tuscaloosa. It's the Georgia Bulldogs and Auburn tomorrow, Carver High.
Yes, that's right. The Bulldogs, of course, coming off of that very tough loss. All right, here we go. Very big number for this game, Scotty. Was 24.5 early in the week, down to 22.5 now that Auburn is getting on the road between the hedges. 52.5 is now the total. That's up from this morning with the 51.5. I will also give you this note. In the Kirby Smart era, Georgia, after a loss, and there hasn't been many of those, 11-3 straight up, 9-5 against the spread. And Auburn's had all kinds of problems this year.
Yeah, I think, frankly, Georgia's going to spank them tomorrow. Auburn is not Auburn to me. Like, I'm not afraid of them at all. Like, they lose at home. Now they're going there to, Sanford Stadium between the hedges. Forget about it. After they lose to Alabama, after they came all the way back on Alabama, took the lead, and then still lost, they are going to take it out on Auburn tomorrow afternoon as sure as I'm sitting here.
Yeah, it's a very, very big number. They probably take it down on them. I know they played a close game last year, but that was in Auburn. I think that in Georgia, you're probably right, especially with it falling underneath 24. I think that that's probably enough for me where I would lay it with Georgia in this spot.
Auburn, they win by 24-30. I really do.
Yeah. Auburn's offense is just so pathetic that Georgia, like, are they going to score at all? Like, that would be my thing. Like, does Auburn score any points in this game? Like, yeah. I think there's a chance that they don't. You see a little bit of a spirited effort from the Georgia defense. All right, let's get into some of the racks now. We'll start with a few of the ranked games early in the day. UCLA making the trip to Happy Valley. They will visit Penn State. That is a noon East kickoff at Beaver Stadium. Big number, of course, here for that one as you get them at 28.5 they're now sitting at. Missouri and Texas A&M, really good one early down at Kyle Field. 2.5 for the Aggies. SMU getting 6.5 at Louisville. Pittsburgh undefeated, laying 2.5 on the road in Chapel Hill. And Ole Miss, after they lost to Kentucky last week, have to go to Columbia to see South Carolina. They are laying on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they look terrible against Kentucky. Are they going to be able to cover that number on the road in Columbia against South Carolina? I have my druthers. I like Pitt in Chapel Hill to cover. They've covered every game. I like SMU in the number 6.5 at Louisville. I think Louisville wins the game. I think the number is a little bit too much for my liking. Missouri and A&M, I think, God, it takes massive stones to take Missouri in this spot at Kyle Field, but, I mean, Notre Dame beat them. Why not? I'll take Missouri to win the game in College Station outright, and they're getting 2.5. And I think Penn State is too many points for me. I think they are obviously better than UCLA. Are they five tutties better than UCLA? You're going to give me 28 and a hook? You're telling me they're going to win that game 31-0 or something? It's not happening in my view. I think the game's better than that. I don't think UCLA's any good, but they played better. So they're doing something different. They've actually put points on the board. I know it's crazy, but, I mean, I'm not going to bet money on it, but I'd take a shot on it. If I did, I'd take those points. I just don't think Penn State's as good as everybody thinks they are.
I'm with you on Mizzou in that second game up there. I think that they're a lot better than Texas A&M. I don't think Texas A&M that great. I know they're a short favorite at home here. But I think that Cook and crew will go in there with Missouri, and they'll find a way. Why not blow them out? They'll find a way to get it done on the road. We did this with the Notre Dame game. All the stuff about how great, the environment and Kyle Field, they lose plenty of games at home to ranked teams. They lose plenty of them. So they'll lose another one on Saturday afternoon against Missouri. All right, Indiana, speaking of ranked teams, Indiana's ranked now. Now they're ranked and going on the road to Northwestern, where they're laying just under two tutties. It's 13.5 right now. Rutgers going to Nebraska. Nebraska minus 6.5. Alabama laying 22.5 at Vandy. Clemson laying 14.5 on the road in Tallahassee. And Boise State 28.5 against Utah State with the kid who's he's already got like feels like almost 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. The kid Jetty, the running back for Boise.
I think it's down to 26.5 on the blue carpet. I don't want any part of it, but if I did, I'd lay it. I think Clemson wins in Tallahassee. Everyone cooks Florida State. Clemson's playing good football right now. I think Dabo and company go in there and handle their business. Alabama wins. Let down. Are you going to take the 22 and a hook with Vandy in Smashville, Carver High? Are you going to do it? They played pretty good football this year.
Nope, I'm not doing it. No chance. I know that they played well. They beat Virginia Tech. They played well, hung in with Missouri. Not Alabama. Alabama, smash job. I'm not involved.
All right, so the other smash one. Him. I think Rutgers going to lose at Nebraska. I think Nebraska gets it done. And I think Indiana will not cover in Chicago. I think this road game, laying that much wood in the Big Ten on the road. Now, I think they'll win. But I think Northwestern gives them a game tomorrow in Chicago and covers that piece. I hope Indiana wins and covers. I just don't feel like they will. Like, it's a lot different than playing at home where every game they played. Now, remember, they haven't really played anybody. They're cooking all these average teams. So this is a Big Ten road game. And you know what Indiana does in Big Ten road games, right? They lay eggs. They've never done anything in the Big Ten. 1 year, 1967, that was it. That they went 8-0 in the Big Ten. They're not winning every single road game in the Big Ten this year. If they do, I'll keel over.
Well, I'm with you. I think they're going to win this one as well. This is going to be a magical season for Indiana. They will get it done. The cover could be tough. Can I get over that 41.5? They've been good to me with their overs and scoring points. I'm hoping that Cignetti puts the foot on the gas again here against the Wildcats and we can score. So I'm going to take the over 41 with Indiana. And Northwestern on Saturday. We'll come back. I've got a few more racks for you with the college. Three more racks before we move on.
Three more racks of rip. I mean, we are really doing it today. Five racks in total and three more to go. We're turning the corner soon and heading for home, but we got a lot of college to hit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you watch SportsGrid all weekend long for the best coverage of college and pro football in the business. Killer shows all day Saturday, all day Sunday. On the grid, we continue pressing forward on a Friday C2C with Carver High and myself in New York.
We certainly do. Let's get through the rest of these college games before we start the baseball. Tennessee on the road at Fayetteville against Arkansas. You were talking about this one with Coach earlier as well. They're laying just about two tutties, 13.5 now for them. Michigan into Washington to take on the Huskies. Huskies 1.5-point favorites. Under the lights in Seattle, USC goes to Minnesota. Baylor heading to Ames against Iowa State late night. 11 East kick between Texas Tech and Arizona out in the Big 12.
So, you know, for the sake of good college football games, I want Arkansas to cover that number against Tennessee and make this a game in Fayetteville. Smash mouth football. Run it down their throat and see if they can handle it. I think that's why the number's only 13.5. I mean, Tennessee's beating everybody they play by 20 or more. I mean, they're just blowing everybody out. Why is the number 13.5? Because it should be a good game in the SEC, a violent game, physical game. Let's see if the Hogs can show up and turn it into that and cover. I think Michigan's got a brutal trip to Seattle, to Husky Stadium, an outright violent setting for football. These fans there are lit. It is loud. It is crazy. That's why they're favored. I'm hoping for the upset of Michigan at home for Washington. USC goes to Minnesota. I think they can handle that number on the road in Minneapolis. I see nothing in the Gophers that I'm impressed with. Baylor's going to get cooked at Iowa State. They win that game by 20 or more in Ames. Campbell's got a team in the Big 12. They're legit. I think they handle their business. And so does Arizona against Texas Tech. I love the over in that game. Look at the number, 64 and a hook. That's going to be a wild football game. And I think Arizona wins it by more than seven. So they're going to cover to 6.5. And I like the over.
I'm with you on Washington. I think they're going to beat Michigan tomorrow night at home. I always love, Scotty, the unranked team favored over the ranked team at home. Let's go with the Huskies. Okay, here we go. The rest, Purdue at Wisconsin, BC and Virginia, both teams been pretty good. Navy and Air Force, Fort Collins for our first military showcase of the year. West Virginia into Oklahoma State, and UCF and the Gators in the Swamp on Saturday night.
Yeah, we said this yesterday. I'm thinking upset here, and Gators finally win a game and show up in the Swamp for their fans. How long is it going to be before Billy Napier wins a football game that matters? Here you go. Beat Central Florida in Gainesville. I think Oklahoma State, the Pokes, get back to business in Stillwater and beat West Virginia. Look at the total in that game, 64.5. They're expecting a wild ride between the Mountaineers and the Pokes. Navy and Air Force. I like Navy on the road, but, man, that's a lot of points in Colorado Springs, isn't it? I think Air Force in the 9.5 sounds tasty to me. I like BC to upset Virginia and Charlottesville, and I think Wisconsin is going to absolutely destroy Purdue at Camp Randall on Saturday afternoon. That's one of my favorite plays. I'm laying the 12.5. I think they win that game by 20 or more over the Boilermakers. They're awful.
And finally, Vatek into Stanford. I like Stanford getting the points at home against the Hokies tomorrow. Colorado State at Oregon State. Duke, undefeated Duke at Georgia Tech. Kansas, Arizona State, and Hawaii into the Snapdragon to take on the Aztecs.
I like the Aztecs at home to finally win a game. I like Arizona State in Tempe, even though they cheat. I like Duke and the points at Bobby Dodd in Atlanta. Too many points for a Duke team that's covered in every single game. I like Oregon State, the Beavs, in Corvallis over Colorado State. They look terrible this year. And I think Stanford covers the number against Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech looked great against Miami. I think they can win this game in Palo Alto, but by 9, I doubt it. Stanford gave Syracuse fits. Why can't they give Vatek fits at home in Northern California in Palo Alto? I say that game's better than 8.5.
There you go. Very big college football weekend that we have for ourselves coming up here. We will come back and we will start to set the table for 4 game ones. The baseball playoffs, MLB playoffs tomorrow.
Hey.
4 game ones. We'll give you all the numbers, the starting pitchers, everything that you need. I'm even going to give you a little Alonzo homer from last night, too, to relive that with the Mets, of course. So we'll do that when we come back.
A polar bear reliving the 3-run shot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, we turn the corner and start talking divisional series now, and baseball's October.
We certainly do as we get ready for the division series. 4 game ones tomorrow throughout the day in Major League Baseball. Why don't we start, though, by quickly looking back at last night. We mentioned it at the top of Coast to Coast, but the Mets beat the Brewers 4-2 last night in Milwaukee. We know the scene going into the top of the ninth, down 2-0 in this game. They get a walk from Francisco Lindor. They get a base hit from Brandon Nimmo. And then, yes, the polar bear, Scotty. Pete Alonso, the call from Howie, Mets Radio 880.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a 3-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. himself. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
That's how you call a baseball game. Howie getting involved. That's how you call a baseball game in New York.
Howie gave you everything you wanted. I mean, down to him touching the plate on that one. What a moment for the Mets. Of course, they added one on as well. 4-2 was the final as you watched the Wink Man smash that helmet and the pieces of it go all over the field when he touched home with that fourth run. Here is Alonso, Scotty, saying what has been said for weeks here. The Mets are a very special group that have a little something right now.
It means the world, and it doesn't matter, like, if it's me or somebody else. Like, I know that everybody in that clubhouse, and I know everybody in our organization, like, we have each other's backs. That's a part of the fabric, why we've been able to bounce back and earn a playoff spot and then move on to the next level. All of us have each other's backs. That's who are as an organization, and that's who we are as a team. That's our identity. Like, we have everyone's back and fully supportive, and everybody's in it together. So it's just really, it's a really special group, and how far we've come this year from earlier this year, not a lot of people thought we'd be at this spot right now. So it's just really special to move on the way we have.
Cry?
Yeah, he said that, you know, today it was me, tomorrow it'll be somebody else. They are, you know, you just can't get rid of them. They just keep winning. That Monday doubleheader game one, you know, up 6-3 after being down 3-0, up 6-3, down 7-6, up win 8-7, and then you go to Milwaukee, win, then you lose, then you win on a 3-run homer in the ninth inning from the polar bear who hasn't hit a home run in a month. You got to be kidding me. They just won't go away. They're like an ex-wife. I mean, my God, the Mets, they are for real. And the Phillies better be ready on Saturday because they're coming. And they've been balling. And you do not want to play them. And the Phillies have been laying around, taking pictures, signing autographs, stretching, spitting, grabbing their onions. I am telling you, they don't want any part of this team right now. It's going to be Mets on Saturday, showing up and punching them right in the mouth. I'm not afraid of Wheeler or anybody. Let's go.
Yeah, remember, we mentioned this the other day. You know, they've only been in this format for a couple years. Last year, three of the teams that had the bye and sat around for the division round lost to teams that won in the wild card round. So it has happened a lot. Before I move on to tomorrow, let's at least finish last night. I mean, we always got to be it's very emotional when you lose a game like that. And Devin Williams, the closer for the Brewers, very unlucky for him.
No, I'm not going to make any excuses. I didn't execute the way I needed to, and they got the job done, and I didn't.
Did you feel like you had Lindor with the checks playing before?
No.
What emotions are you feeling right now?
Oh, I feel great.
I mean, it's a lot of disappointment, you know? We worked all year to get to this point.
Alcohol!
They got me a two-run lead there in the ninth, you know? That's how we draw it up, and I couldn't come through for the boys. So, you know, no one feels worse than I do.
You lose.
Just unlucky. You honestly lose. That's how it goes, right?
You lose, Milwaukee. You lose. You lose.
That is what we always say.
You lose. You lose.
That's it.
You lose. Psych.
So now that they lose, this is how it looks. There are eight teams left. Look at that. How about that? As you'll have the Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, Padres,
right,
Yankees, Royals, and the Guardians and the Tigers in the other American League series. So the Mets and the Phillies, Scotty, will start. Of course, they are the 4 o'clock East game tomorrow. I gave you the news earlier in the show that Kodai Senga will return for the Mets to start game number one. That will be against Zach Wheeler. I hope so. I don't know if you saw that ticket I was throwing around earlier. I have the Yankees to beat the Mets, 100-1 ticket
on an exacta.
We gotta bring it home. That's all that matters. All the other teams can go straight to hell. Screw everybody.
I got the Mets with a few teams. I have Mets Tigers. I have Yankees Mets. I have the Mets with a couple teams if they could ever get there. Phillies are minus 175 in game one. Mets are plus +150. The total is
Give me the Mets.
Senga.
Give me the Mets in a fucking half. Everybody, I'm going to get drunk. Let's go. Mafia, you've never heard me talk this good about the Mets. Screw you. Get my pillbox and a bottle of tequila.
Now, the Mets, the National League teams, of course, will play Sunday as well, Scotty. That'll be Severino and Christopher Sanchez in game two for the Mets and the Phillies. So they will, we will know what it is going back to New York when we get back on Monday here on Coast to Coast for that one. I like the Mets as well, I think.
I want nothing more than to see them knock the Phillies out because they're just so incredible and they're so tough and they're so on fire and all they do is win and they get it done. And then when they lose, they turn around and win. When their backs are, I mean, you're down 2-0 in the ninth inning and you win. I mean, you're down 7-6 in the eighth inning and you win. 8-7, you got to be kidding me. They just absolutely are disgustingly fun to watch, right? So I want to see them and the Padres. That's it. I hate the Dodgers. I want to see the Yankees, and I want to see the Tigers. So, like, that's the deal. That's who I'm rooting for. I almost fell over today, too. Like, you might even mention it. I know you're going to bring it up later. Tito's coming back. I thought he was, like, dead. Like, are you kidding me? And then what's the deal with Musgrove? Yeah. You got Spew News. What's the deal?
Musgrove is having Tommy John. Remember, he left the game for the Padres the other night. So Tommy John for Musgrove. You won't be seeing him anymore. And yes, I was going to mention
finest.
It. I was going to mention it later, but you will now. I was floored to see that with Tito because, you know, he spent the last, you know, those last couple years with Cleveland, he barely was with the team. He was having so many issues and he wasn't able to be. He's 65 years old. They must have gave him a boatload of money there in Cincinnati to go and manage that team. That was a very stunning announcement.
He said he wasn't going to manage again with his health issues. He said, I don't see myself ever managing again. And 3 years later, he's managing. Like, honestly, these guys never go away. Like, remember Dusty? Dusty was managing when he was 130.
They just don't want to quit, that's for sure. We'll come back. I will give you the numbers for the other three series that are starting tomorrow. Padres, Dodgers, Yankees, Royals, Tigers, and Cleveland. Let's go, baby.
Can we get some Friar love over here? Screw the Dodgers. Screw everyone in L.A.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so I'm really excited as well about the Friar faithful, the Padres and Dodgers series in Chavez Ravine starting Saturday and Sunday in Lipstick City. It's going to be really good.
It is going to be really good, Scotty. I'm waiting for this one as well. Of course, two rivals. Padres knocked the Dodgers out a couple of years ago. They've played some great games over the past few years, and they will get it going tomorrow night. That is the last game of the day, the last start, really, 8:40 p.m. East, 5:40 there at Chavez Ravine. Now, Roberts the other day, Scotty, had said that Flaherty was going to start game one yesterday. Right. The Dodgers changed course. They will now start Yamamoto in game number one on Saturday night and push Flaherty back to Sunday. As Gabe was saying to you earlier, that's because with the way the days off work out, it allows them to still pitch Flaherty twice if necessary in a fifth game because of all that. Also injury news for the Dodgers, it sounds like Freddie Freeman is going to be back in the lineup for game number one. Dodgers are minus 138 with Yamamoto. The Padres will have Dylan Cease in game one at plus 118 and a 7.5 total.
I mean, if they're ever going to do it, I think it's this game because they've been playing. They're hot. They're good. They're on fire. They've been rolling. The Dodgers, again, have been sitting around getting suntan, doing nothing, having their pathetic practices at the ballpark where they do nothing at all. It's a joke. So I like the teams that have been playing. I like their shot at plus 118. I think the Flaherty game will be difficult. I don't think the Dodgers are losing both games at Chavez Ravine. I think if the Padres want to win this series, they got to jump out and take game one and then go back to Petco and win those games in San Diego 3 and 4. I told you that Musgrove was done. I knew he was done. You start having elbow problems. He's already had elbow problems, and to have him again recur, obviously he's having Tommy John now. He's finished. So that's one less pitcher. He gave him a good start, but he's done now permanently. He'll be out a year or more. So that's a bummer for Friar fans.
I like the Padres, Scotty, for this series. Let's just say that. I think the Padres are going to find a way to beat the Dodgers, and I think we'll see some runs here. Like you said, I think the Dodger lineup's good, but they're going to have problems pitching here against the Padres, specifically once you start getting into that bullpen. So that's it. Game one in the Bronx tomorrow night, American League side, 6:35 p.m. East for the Yankees and the Royals. It will be Michael Waka 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 and Gerrit Cole in the first game. Let me actually start things off by giving you some Bobby Witt Jr. This is from earlier this afternoon. Of course, you know, being a shortstop, Scotty, who do you think he grew up idolizing, your boy? We don't have Bobby. We didn't get Bobby in. That's okay.
Oh, good, because I don't want to hear it about Jeter. We're so far past Derek Jeter around here, it's not even funny.
He was watching all the clips, getting a feel for big games at Yankee Stadium, doing a little prep work, watching some old Jeter videos.
He'll find out tomorrow night. He's going to find out. On River Ave. He'll find out.
The hard way. -205 for the Yankees in game number one. Waka and the Royals +172. 7.5 is the total.
Judge and Soto hitting shots in game one for Gerrit Cole. He'll give up one. Maybe Bobby Witt will hit one. Maybe it's Salvi. But Yankees in game one, they're the only team that hasn't been playing that'll win because of the Yankees.
Yankees win the series, but I think it's going to be tricky, Scotty, in five. Yankees in five is what I'm going with against the Royals. Yes.
Bobby again, my tongues.
You're going to have to probably sweat this one out. I think Yankees in five is where I'm leaning for that series.
The Yankees will manhandle the Royals and suffer punishment along the way at the hands of the pinstripers.
I'm very nervous about what they're throwing in this series after Gerrit Cole. And I know Rodon is better in the second half. I'm nervous about Rodon. I'm nervous about Louis Heal. I think the Yankees after Cole in the rotation is spotty. Now, they should. We've talked about this. They should find a way to get through these three teams and get back to the World Series. But they're going to need to do it, I think, with the bats and not as much, which has been a problem for them in October. Remember, they have pitched well during the Boone era in October. They have not hit. So let's see if now having Soto in there with Judge changes those things.
Yeah, and I think the Royals have not had a good month. They beat the Orioles because the Orioles are pikers, and they didn't do it by scoring a lot of runs. If they don't hit against the Yankees, they're dead meat because the Yankees lineup will hit at least the top half of that order. I even love the catcher, Wells. I wouldn't let that Lee Trevino near that plate. I don't care who's pitching. Honestly,
I agree.
I mean, they got to get some other people involved in this. I mean, this guy, Ben Rice, like Rice-a-roni. I mean, this guy can't hit. So I seen him have three home runs once. They thought he was Babe Ruth. Then he hit 100 the rest of the time he was here. So, and I don't think Volpe can hit either. I need deep bats, and I need the big bats to drive in runs and hit home runs.
Now, Boone didn't say where he's leaning today, but I'll tell you right now, he's going to play Verdugo over Dominguez, too, in that lineup tomorrow. I'd expect Alex Verdugo in game one.
He's been in big games.
I'd play Dominguez, honestly. I think it's more life in the bat with Dominguez in there. I think you have a better boom chance with him in than Verdugo. And if you're so worried about defense, then put Verdugo out there for defense later in the game. I think you got a chance for a thunderbolt with Dominguez in there. Tigers and Guardians Game one is the first game of the day, 1 o'clock East tomorrow. Tanner Bibby will start game one for Cleveland. Tyler Holton, remember, he's the opener, just like they did game two in Houston. Holton started that game. Looks like they're going to do one of these. We're going to piece a lot of things together. Minus 155 for Cleveland, plus 130 for Detroit, and a 6.5 in game number one.
Keep giving me those big plus 130s. They're like Baconators. Give me the juicy Baconator plus 130 with the Tigers. Let's go.
Plus 130. I think the Tigers are going to beat Cleveland in this series. Scooble.
Are you serious?
Scooble will pitch game two Monday. Remember, the AL does not play Sunday, only the NL. So they have a day off between games one and two. Game twos are on Monday. Scooble will pitch for Detroit in that game against Cleveland.
So only the Phillies, Mets, and the Dodgers, Padres on Saturday, Sunday. That's all I care about anyway.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, it really is a massive weekend, and it starts tonight with three, count 'em four, college football games, and then all day Saturday, all day Sunday, the college football, the baseball, the NFL, pain day. I mean, it is ridiculous. Time for leftovers to wrap her up on a pain-free Friday with Carver High.
It certainly is. We're going to have a lot to discuss on Monday when we come back. Monday's going to be very thick with everything that's going to go on this weekend, and we'll have Chiefs, Saints, and those game twos, and I believe one of them starts while we're on. I think the Tiger game is at like 4:30 on Monday.
Whoa,
and then the Yankees and Yankees and Royals are at night in the Bronx. So we have ourselves a good Monday coming up. All right, here we go with the leftovers first. The Twins fired general manager Thad Levine after 8 years. I'm going to tell you something, Scotty. Thad did such a great job. Nobody even knew he was the general manager of the Minnesota Twins. That's how well Thad did in that spot. Nobody knew he was the GM. So nice job by him. Away
and Minnesota
he goes.
Should be lovers.
Your boy Rondo is eyeing a coaching career as he has joined the Buck staff. So Rondo
moved to Milwaukee.
He just keeps following us. All of this Milwaukee stuff. It's amazing. Patrick Ewing, it did not go well at Georgetown for Patrick, so back to New York he goes. He joins the Knicks as basketball ambassador, whatever that is. So what does that mean, Scott? He basically gets to go and like shake hands with everybody and go to all the games and wave to the crowd, and he'll be one of the guys they show in the front row with the $2,500 seats. Is that what that is for Patrick?
Yeah, he's got front row seats, and Charles Oakley doesn't, is what that means.
I did see some of Kat working out for the first time with the Knicks yesterday. Everybody's very excited for Kat to get going. College basketball is around the corner as well. Tom Izzo says it's fair to criticize the Big Ten for a lack of NCAA titles. Well, I'd say so. They haven't won one in 25 years. I'd say it's pretty easy to
create.
I mean, when was the last time the Big Ten won, right? 99 when they won, isn't it? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's 25 years. It's embarrassing, but they get more coverage than any conference in basketball, if you ask me. They're always the top of the TV networks and you name it. Pharrella finish. Garth Brooks having a bad day, accused of rape. Sexual assault in a lawsuit filed by his hair and makeup artist. That just sounds sketchy to me. The makeup artist is suing him. She said he like had a loaded gun around her too. He was like putting bullets in a gun and scaring her, allegedly. Not good for Garth. And he's got that bar in Nashville and a TV show. He's very popular. And now he's been accused of rape. Wow. Utah wife arrested after telling an informant she shot her estranged husband while he was sleeping. Now that's how you handle your business. You go in when the guy's out cold snoring and you blow his head off. I mean, that is dealing right there, Carver High.
Why would you divulge that information? I don't. It sounds like she had gotten away with it. Like, why would you tell
Tell somebody that. Unbelievable, these stories you
because
find. It really
she
is.
She was excited about the Utah hockey team's upcoming season and started getting drunk on martinis and opening her mouth.
Tuesday night.
Rape cases surged 13% in New York City as other violent crimes decrease, allegedly. I don't believe that. Two Delta Airlines agents smuggled over 3 million in ketamine through JFK Airport. That is a strong effort right there with the special K. The ketamine queen. No wonder she had all that K out in Lipstick City. Arizona State University students stabbed entering the classroom in a random butchering attack. The suspect pinpointed her as, quote, an easier target, end quote. He had it all figured out. She can't stop me, so I'll stab her a few times. George Clooney sells his L.A. mansion to Christian McCaffrey and his Olivia Culpo wife or girlfriend. I can't keep track of all these lovers. Long Island man brutally beaten, stabbed his pal to death after a boozy night in the Hamptons. Catch this. The guy called his handyman to go clean up the bloody scene. Hey, man, can you go down and clean up the murder scene? I just chopped up my friend out here after going to a party in the Hamptons. A bull gores a woman to death at a Spanish festival. I am not going around bulls that gore people or tomato throwing anywhere. It just leads to slippery conditions and being gored by bulls. GTD is next. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. Have a kick-ass weekend. We'll see you at 3 on Monday on Constant Cuts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.